Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. We'll begin today with the intersection of two stories from the stock market from the last few days that have not just economic but political and cultural implications. They are both about social media sites going public, that is, being publicly traded as stock offerings now. As some of you already know, users of Reddit and Truth Social, Donald Trump's social media company, can now go beyond posting on their favorite internet communities and own a bit of the pie. Now, in going public, Reddit is seeking to grow its pool of cash, thus allowing the company to expand by acquiring other businesses, is what we've read, providing new services and opening a new revenue stream that would sell user data to artificial intelligence companies for training purposes. Controversial enough in its own right. But in this endeavor, Reddit has also ruffled the feathers of its own moderators. Who are the moderators? They are a vast team of volunteers credited for transforming the site into a gem of authenticity. You might say Reddit has taken on a lot of what Twitter used to be before a certain Tesla owner turned it into an economic and cultural dumpster fire. The fear is that stock-traded Reddit might lose some of what makes it culturally special, but the company does seem likely to offer shareholders a valuable product. The same cannot be said for Truth Social. With its small user base and massive revenue loss last year, the company has fallen into what they call meme stock territory. Its product is essentially Donald Trump opening a Pandora's box in which we now have to contend with the fact that voters can invest in a presidential candidate, or you might call it a donation if the company loses money, on the stock market. So let's start today by looking at these two social media companies, their performances thus far after a number of days on the stock market, and the broader implications of these events. Joining us now is Felix Salmon, chief financial correspondent for Axios, host of the Slate Money podcast, and author of The Phoenix Economy, Work, Life, and Money in the New Not Normal, his book from last year, for which he was a guest on this show. Hi, Felix. Always good to have you. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks so much, Brian. I love your show so much.
Oh, let's start with Reddit, which went public on March 20th. How has it been doing so far?
Spectacularly well, I would say. It's off its highs, but the stock was priced at $34 a share, which everyone thought was crazy high. Like, how on earth could they justify such a high price for the stock? And right now it is trading at almost $48 a share, so much, much higher than that. It is worth about coming on to $8 billion. And just to be clear, this is for a company that is 19 years old and over the course of those 19 years has never once turned a profit.
I spoke a bit about Reddit's goals of expanding its business through acquisitions and allowing user data to train AI programs like ChatGPT. Why has Reddit decided to go down those roads?
Well, it's a capitalist company, and as a capitalist company, it wants to make money. And I mean, you know, it wants to have a high share price, and its owners want to make money, including Condé Nast, which bought it back in the day and then started selling off shares. So, it has lots of bright ideas for how it can make money. It can't lose money forever. It now has $650 million in the bank that it raised in going public that it can, as you say, use to buy other companies, use to invest in whatever it wants to invest in. And it has lots of great dreams of, you know, somehow it will be able to become profitable in the future. But so far, we haven't seen that.
I mentioned Reddit's content moderation. New York Times even had a story called calling Reddit's IPO a content moderation success story. So can you describe what Reddit does compared to other social media sites? Because, of course, one of the things everybody decries about social media is how, you know, so much misinformation gets spread there because there isn't content moderation. What does Reddit do differently?
So what Reddit has, its secret weapon, it's not so secret Reddit weapon, to be honest, is this vast army of unpaid moderators. It's a bunch of forums, and every forum has moderators who put a huge amount of work into making sure that the conversations stay on track, that everyone is being polite, that they aren't spammed by lots of misinformation and disinformation. And partly as a result of that, people become incredibly loyal to Reddit. It has enormous amounts of traffic. One of the reasons it's trading at such a high valuation is because the stock market just can't believe that such a huge website isn't going to be able to make money somehow. And the New York Times is exactly right that this stands in kind of stark contrast to the more sort of pure social media sites like Twitter or Facebook, where, or Instagram, where there's, you know, there might be some sort of professional moderation behind the scenes, but it's hard to keep up with the sheer fire hose of new content, and a lot of it is done algorithmically, and it can feel just kind of skeevy and unpleasant when you're on those sites in the way that Reddit just doesn't. Reddit feels like a safe place to hang out most of the time.
So 60,000 volunteer moderators is the number I've seen, and that they sweep the site for troubling content every day. But for some reason, all of these volunteer moderators, all of this content moderation poses a threat to the company's success on Wall Street, some people think. Do I have that right?
I mean, people were talking about that before the IPO, that, you know, the moderators and the people who really make the site work might not be completely on board with this idea of being a public company. So far, there's not a huge amount of evidence that they're sort of going on strike. They actually kind of did go on strike a while back over like a different change that Reddit made. There's always been this tension between Reddit, the corporation, and Reddit, the moderators. That tension hasn't disappeared, but I don't think it's worse now than it has been in the past.
Yeah, if Reddit was a for-profit company, even before going public on the stock market, there was still the profit motive there. So I guess I'm not sure if there would have been tension between the volunteer moderators if they were trying to protect something that was sort of the culture of Reddit against those trying to make money off the company, and if that would have been any different 3 weeks ago than it is now that it's a stock.
Yeah, the thing they got really upset about was, I mean, I'm going to bore you to tears here, so we're not going to go into huge detail, but Reddit basically cut off API access, which we don't need to go into that. But it did make Reddit feel much more like a profit-seeking company that didn't want to give things away rather than, a free utility on the internet, which is how it feels to a lot of the moderators. But that happened already, and now it's a listed stock. Many of the moderators actually participated in the IPO, bought in at $34 a share. If they still have those shares, they're worth $48 now. So they're all, you know, quids in, as we say in England.
Quids in. I guess that would mean bucks on the table in the United States, huh? Listeners, we can take phone calls. Love to get phone calls from Reddit users for people, because Reddit doesn't actually make the news as much as Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or TikTok. So Reddit users, talk about the Reddit experience and why you like it, what you find there at a community level. There are so many subreddits, as they're called, that create community around different things. Why do you like Reddit? Why do you care about Reddit? Do you yourself act as a volunteer moderator on Reddit ever? Do you care that the company is now being publicly offered on the stock exchange? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, call or text. And also, who uses Truth Social, which is the other half of this story about social media companies going public in recent days? Anybody look at what Trump does, who's not like a political journalist who does this for a living? Do you follow Trump? If you're a Trump supporter, a Trump fan, do you follow Truth Social? Do you post on Truth Social? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Or maybe anybody in the Wall Street community who's listening right now, what do you think about either of these stocks? Are you recommending that your clients buy or stay away from one or the other or both, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Felix Salmon, Chief Financial Correspondent for Axios, 212-433-WNYC. All right, Truth Social. How has that company done so far in the week since it's been on the market?
Again, amazing. So Truth Social, also a company that has never made money. Its losses are huge compared to its revenues. It's kind of, as a company, a very small and very unsuccessful business. As a stock, it is spectacular. It is worth more than $5 billion. It is, you know, the idea was that it would merge into this blank check listed company at $10 a share. It's now trading at $47 a share. It's made Donald Trump a clear billionaire. No one's, you know, questioning that he now owns a lot of shares that are worth a lot of money. It has become a meme stock that people are trading and buying and selling just because it has the ticker symbol DJT, much more than that because they want to own a part of this company. So Truth Social, like Reddit, is doing very well on the stock market. I must come in here very quickly, though, and just say, when I say very well, I'm saying they're worth, you know, $5 billion for Truth Social, $8 billion for Reddit. Let's just put that in context. Elon Musk spent $44 billion on Twitter. Right. People are talking about just the American arm of TikTok, if it was forced to be sold off, would probably sell for $100 billion.
Wow.
There was recently an estimate saying that YouTube, if it was spun off, if you valued it just on its own, would be worth $400 billion. So compared to some of the, you know, really big websites, these are still tiny.
Let's take a phone call from Peter in Brooklyn, who says he is a big Redditor. Peter, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm really happy to talk about Reddit. I got hooked a few years ago. And what I found is, like, the interaction on the stuff that I post is actually a lot more robust at the local level. And so there's all these hyper-local Brooklyn, even Brooklyn particular neighborhoods, they'll have subreddits. And, you know, as local news dries up, I think this is a place to find, you know, what's going on down the block. Why are there all those police there? You know, what's a good, you can get so specific in the kinds of restaurants or bars that you're looking for, and find communities that, you know, you didn't even know you were interested in or that existed. And it's been really fruitful. My partner, my fiance, actually is on the Wedding NYC subreddit. So it gets that specific and is able to find tips on, you know, cheap stuff and I think cut a dress through it. So,
Do you also, or have you in the past, also used other social media sites and find they don't do the same thing in as granular a way?
Yeah, I mean, because the Reddits are usually thematic or geographically organized, whereas Facebook, you know, at least at the start, tried to create kind of a big tent, and it can get pretty mixed up. And then, you know, the Reddit page, I mean, sorry, the Facebook pages and groups, you know, seemed just a little sketchy and less organized. So the community moderation, you can see when the mods take charge. And, you know, I think that Reddit has done a lot over the past couple of years, especially to kind of clean up and institute some, you know, basic standards and hold those mods accountable, which seems to be working, in my view.
Peter, thanks for sharing. Appreciate it. Gabriel in Queens, a Reddit user. You're on WNYC. Hi, Gabriel.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. So I wanted to echo what the last caller said, which is Reddit for me just seemed like a last bastion on the internet where you could sort of be free from, like, really vicious search engine optimization, sort of the website selling you things constantly. A lot of websites used to be more like that. Like, I used to be a big fan of Yelp. I used to be things like YouTube or even Google search just used to get more reliable results. You wouldn't immediately be flooded with links that are trying to sell you things. So if you want to find, even like the last caller said, a restaurant on the local level, if you want to find something even important, like I left the gas on in my apartment. When you Google it now, the results are not that reliable. There's immediately a company trying to sell you something. So I think the fear is that it becomes like a little more financialized and results become less community driven.
Gabriel, thank you very much. So to that last point that that last caller, Gabriel in Queens, just made, Felix, how does Reddit make money?
This is a very good question. I mean, it does have ads, but not very many, not particularly targeted and not annoying in the way that they might derail someone who's looking for a reliable answer from an actual human being. And that's one of the reasons why, well, frankly, it has not made money in 19 years. You know, it's been quite good at losing money over the years. One of its great plans right now is that it has a huge amount of content being uploaded every day. People are asking questions, answering questions, being really intelligent humans on the internet in a way that the AI companies really want to be able to ingest real-time information of what intelligent humans are talking about so they can learn by sort of emulation what an intelligent human looks like and says and is interested in. And so one of the hopes is that Reddit will be able to sell that data to AI companies and make money that way. But again, like, we don't know how much money they'll be able to make that way, whether that will suffice to make them profitable, whether they will be happy with just that much. There's a lot of unknowns in terms of what their plan is for making money.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And it's such an, I guess, a good example of how media companies, if we want to lump these tech companies under the broader heading of media, make money compared to old media companies, right? So if you're thinking of like a cable television station, well, it's very apparent to you how they're making money. The programs break for commercials and commercials in between the programs. With these, maybe there are some display ads that people will come across, but there are also these back channel ways, like using your data, as you were just describing, which might creep people out or might make people think, well, okay, everybody's selling my information for commercial purposes. If they want to make money that way and I don't have to sit through ads, I don't really care. But that's the world we're now living in compared to the old world, right?
Yeah, and everyone is a media company these days. I wrote this morning about how Chase, you know, the bank on the corner, it's just set up this subsidiary called Chase Media Solutions, and it's now selling ad space in its app, you know, its special offers, which are super targeted. Vizio, the TV manufacturer, just got bought by Walmart for $2 billion, not because it makes any money selling TVs, but because it makes a huge amount of money selling ads on TVs. You don't even realize it's the TV itself that's advertising to you. Everyone is media now, and so, like, companies that think of themselves as media companies, you know, like Axios or even WNYC, they're just a drop in the bucket of media companies.
How does that work with Vizio? I hadn't heard of that one before. Okay, so I know enough about, you know, commercial radio and television to know that if you have a local affiliate, let's say, of a network, you're watching some big network show, pick your one, the Super Bowl, there are national ads that people have bought that the network runs, and then there are what they call local avails, local availabilities, where your local affiliate, you know, maybe it's National Fox, but then Fox 5 in New York gets a certain number of minutes per hour reserved to them where they can sell ads and put their local ads in there and make money locally. So now on television, some of that time would be reserved for the TV manufacturer to place ads, or how would that work?
Exactly. I mean, it's wild, but it's that you absolutely got it 100% correct. When you buy a Vizio TV, you do not need to plug in a cable box. You do not need to plug in a Roku or an Apple TV or anything like that. You can just connect the TV directly to the Wi-Fi, and it will serve you up a whole bunch of programming for free. And that free programming, because it's coming straight through the TV and the software that is built into the TV, Basically, Vizio becomes the media company. It becomes effectively like the local affiliate that is providing you that content. And in return for, you know, showing you that content, it takes its cut in the form of however many ad minutes per hour.
Interesting. Danny in Williamsburg, a Reddit moderator. You're on WNYC. Hi, Danny.
Hi, happy to be here. I just wanted to talk about how Reddit kind of changed my life in some ways. But yeah, Reddit is interesting because I've seen people on Reddit and they are finding new ways to make money with the premium subscription model. You can pay to not see ads. They've also been doing their version of Clubhouse, Reddit Talks, which they sunset a year ago. But overall, it is a great place to share information. And I've seen a lot of YouTubers or people on TikTok take some of the information from Reddit and make content that does millions of views. And I became a moderator, and it was interesting to see kind of just how much work it is for something that isn't paid and all of the drama you have to deal with to curate the conversation that you want to curate. And it's like a relatively small subreddit, but not that small. It has about 12,000 subs. And man, the stuff that goes in the back end is pretty crazy, from moderators clashing. You would think this is like a Fortune 500 company. So we argue with each other, but yeah.
Can you give us an example?
So basically, there's this, like, let's say there's a subreddit with like a million people. Sometimes some of the moderators may not like how that subreddit is run, so they create an offshoot. The one I do is for a podcast, the Joe Budden podcast, and I created an offshoot of it because I got kicked out of that one. Huh. So eventually there was like a schism, and what you see is like a lot of the subreddit communities that exist sometimes are offshoots of other subreddits. And that's what's cool about Reddit, is that you eventually find a community and it's curated the way you want it to be. And you see a lot of people kind of be at odds and not like that a certain topic can't be broached. And yeah, the admins do a good job. But overall, I think what's great about Reddit now is now that it seems like they're trying to get into that content creation where they allow creators to kind of curate a dialogue with their community. Like sometimes when I look at the Reddit user interface, it looks like YouTube and the way they share videos. They even did live streaming a video a year ago, which they also sunset. So
when you
every day.
That's all really interesting. And when you moderate, like, what do you find yourself having to do? Is it taking down objectionable content or fact-checking things for misinformation? What do you actually find yourself doing as a moderator?
Well, I think for me, the actual, it's not as cool as that, even though that is pretty interesting. Like, but it's really people promoting themselves and like sharing content about their music. And hey, check out this song. There are times when things get a little dicey. Like I know we're a podcast subreddit, so we have to be careful of things like, let's say, Israel Palestine. Sometimes that topic will be broached on something as minor as the Joe Budden podcast. And things that are off topic are things we try to monitor. And those can kind of go left and have community members at arms. You get really insulting messages on the back end. You have to mute people. People are really, really mean to Reddit moderators in a way that it's kind of hard to comprehend. There's attempts to like reveal people's identity and stuff like that. But it seems like Reddit itself is kind of navigating away from that anonymity sometimes, where maybe they want people to share who they are more so than in the past for the company they're becoming.
Yeah, people certainly feel more licensed to be mean when they think they can be anonymous. One more question, and I appreciate all your time. Is there any possibility that now that Reddit has gone public, that all you volunteer moderators will try to unionize or ask to be paid?
I can only speak for myself. I know, I think like the guest you had on, the bigger thing that happened with Reddit was what he mentioned with the API. So this going public thing isn't really any skin off the back. And I believe that them offering the IPO at $34 is a sign of good faith, because no other company, to my knowledge, that I've used, like Twitter, Facebook, has done something that cool. So as far as me, Danny from Williamsburg, Brooklyn, I have no issue. I'm sure other Redditors, because a lot of Redditors have opinions, will have an issue. But me, I don't know. I think Reddit's doing good with its
Danny
model.
From Williamsburg, Brooklyn, call us again. Thanks for this.
Thank you.
Felix, anything on that call?
No, I think Daniel's right that broadly speaking, this IPO, you know, it's obviously made a bunch of people rich. One of the interesting little quirks of it is the individual with the largest single shareholding, the single largest individual shareholder in Reddit, is actually Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI. For reasons that go back many years, he led a couple of rounds in Reddit back in the day, and now he has a stake worth hundreds of millions of dollars in Reddit. So, you know, that kind of shows a little bit about how plugged in Reddit is into the AI ecosystem. And he's obviously very good at making money. And, you know, he's running around the world saying he wants to raise $7 trillion for AI. And Reddit is like a rounding error to him. But it has become now, I think now that it's public, it has become this slightly more visible to the outside world. Like, it was always very popular for people on Reddit, and then people who weren't on Reddit were kind of a bit confused about what it was or why they'd want to use it, or, you know, like whether it even existed. It's not a part of the general consciousness in the way that something like Twitter is. But now that it's got done this IPO, people are like, oh yeah, that's a stock, I can buy it, you know, I can put it in my portfolio, and I can make a bet on the nice social network doing well.
Let me take one more caller from a Reddit user who's actually going to be a little critical of it as well, I think, the only caller like that we would have had. And then we'll go back to the other social media company that just went public on the stock exchange that this segment is also about, and that's Truth Social. But first, Rich in Huntington, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Brian. Big fan of your show. I am a heavy Reddit user. I like Reddit, but, you know, I find a lot of the subreddits get over-moderated, and as a result, become kind of echo chambers. And that's part of using Reddit, is getting frustrated, you know, with moderators. I mean, there are a couple of big ones, World News and Politics, which are really the worst of the worst. World News, I was banned one time from there just for harmlessly criticizing Justin Trudeau. And, you know, if you're not in sync with the opinions on World News, the moderators, you get cut. And it kind of makes it less interesting. I mean, if you know, if it's predictable what everybody's opinions are going to be on the subreddit, yeah, okay, you can go there to see what other like-minded people are thinking. But there's no back and forth that's honest. It's all bias. And so with World News right now, for example, what's going on there is you would think the posts would be from the IDF. I mean, it's so pro-IDF. You cannot get through any other opinions there. It's difficult. And you start thinking that the people posting are working for the IDF or are bots or something like that. The other one is Politics, which is a huge one. I think it has like 31 million subscribers. And that is just Democratic Party establishment. Progressive ideas get voted out and you get cut out, and anything other than you know, Joe Biden is the greatest and Hillary Clinton are the greatest, those get thrown out. So you end up with these echo chambers. The previous caller saying how, well, then you make these offshoots. That's true. That's pretty, you know, that's the way things go. But, you know, many times those offshoots, if they ever become popular, then they become echo chambers. And it's kind of this never-ending cycle, you know. And so it can be at times a bit discouraging, because every subreddit sooner or later matures and becomes quite boring, because the moderators make it so in order to enforce their own political perspective.
Really interesting perspective from you, Rich. Thank you very much for calling. And Felix, I don't know if you have anything way of an observation of your own on that. You're more of a finance reporter, but without really being a denizen of politics sites on Reddit, that I thought there was a lot of conservative sites. I would have guessed that there would have been pro-Palestine sites as well as pro-Israel sites, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah, there absolutely are. You can find a subreddit which is conservative, which is liberal, which is progressive, which is pro-Palestine, which is probably pro-Russia. You know, like, there's a subreddit for everyone. There are many subreddits for everyone. But one of the things the caller said, which is true, is that what you often don't find is a lot of argument and debate within the Reddits, within those subreddits. And that's one of the things that's both a feature and a bug, right? One of the reasons why people like it and one of the things that distinguishes it from the complete chaos of something like Twitter or Facebook, where everyone's just throwing mud at each other the whole time, is that you do have these moderators who are like, we're not here to throw mud. And if you want to go off and be conservative, here's a subreddit for you. And so, yeah, if what you're looking for is debate, like there are definitely subreddits where you're going to find that, but probably not in a sort of very unmoderated way in a Reddit with 35 million members. Like that is one of the reasons, that is one of the things that people like about Reddit, is that they can go to a big subreddit with 35 million Reddits and not just get sucked into debates.
All right, back to the Truth Social part of this conversation with Felix Salmon from Axios right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we're talking about the cultural and political as well as the economic significance of these two recent public stock offerings of social media companies, Reddit, and now we'll talk in a little more detail about Trump's Truth Social. Our guest for this is Felix Salmon, chief financial correspondent for Axios. And Felix, you wrote a piece last week dubbing Truth Social a meme stock. M-E-M-E, meme stock. What does that mean?
If you remember in early 2021, a lot of people started getting very excited about a company called GameStop, which was a sort of failing video games retailer. And it suddenly had a valuation of $30 billion on the stock market. And it got made into a movie recently called Dumb Money, which you can see on Netflix. And that really excited a bunch of people that you could go onto the stock market and bid up a stock, no matter what the business was like, the stock itself became a little bit like a cryptocurrency. You could just bet on it and hold onto it and hope that it went up and ideally stick it to the man who was going short. If there were a bunch of hedge fund managers like trying to bet that it was going down, you would take the other side of the bet and they would lose a lot of money and you would make a lot of money. And it became this fun game that people played, you know, kind of at the height of the pandemic in early 2021. It was fueled by stimulus checks. It was a crazy time. And then, you know, interest rates rose. We all got vaccinated. We went back out into the world and people kind of thought that that was this weird feverish moment in the past. But it turns out it's still going. And DJT, which is this very Trumpy new stock now that is listed on the stock exchange, has become a way for Trump supporters and Trumpists and MAGA types to go out and put money on Trump and watch the stock go up and make money or lose money or whatever fun thing they can do this week. And it's not really buying shares in a company so much as it's playing a fun game on Robinhood.
Does it mean that people who are buying into Truth Social, by and large, don't necessarily think they're going to make money? They're not putting money down on Truth Social like they would do on regular stocks. They're actually trying to contribute to the Trump campaign, and they're willing to take their losses if the stock crashes.
They're certainly willing to take their losses if the stock crashes. They are hoping to make money. The way they are hoping to make money is not by the company becoming hugely profitable, but just by the stock going up. So if you buy it at $47 today and then sell it at, you know, $100 tomorrow, that's one way of making money, right? No matter what happens to the company. So what they're hoping is that as the election gets into high gear and Trump becomes dominating the news cycle, everyone will start getting into this sort of Trump fever and they will bid up the stock for reasons. Now, to be clear, if you're buying this stock, you're just buying it off another shareholder, right? None of that money goes to Trump himself. None of that money goes to the Trump campaign. That is not a political donation in any way, shape, or form. But Trump does own more than half of the company. And so if the stock goes up, he becomes richer, and in a few months' time, in October or so, he will be able to sell his shares. And if the shares are worth a lot of money, then he will be able to make a lot of money selling the shares. And if he wants to, he can take that money and put it into his campaign.
Well, in your podcast, Late Money, one of your guests mentioned that Jimmy Carter sold his peanut farm upon being elected president. How can Donald Trump be the CEO of a tech company or own more than 50% of the shares without it being blind, which in this case it certainly wouldn't be, if he's elected president? Wouldn't that be a violation of what they call the Emoluments Clause?
I think almost everyone who has studied the Emoluments Clause would say yes, that would be a violation of the Emoluments Clause. But remember that Donald Trump has violated the Emoluments Clause many times already when he was president the first time around. He owned a hotel that was opposite the White House, and you know, lots of foreign governments would buy hotel rooms and that money would go straight into his pocket because he was the hotelier. And it was very obvious that that was a form of channeling money to the president that would violate the Emoluments Clause. But the Emoluments Clause seems to have no real teeth. So, yeah, it would arguably be illegal, but I don't think that would stop anyone from doing it.
Yeah, this six-month window that you just referred to, if I understand it correctly, you were saying, and I think I've seen elsewhere, that Trump can't take money out of the stock offering for 6 months after it first goes public. That's right, right?
That's in the documentation, but let's be clear about this. The board of directors of Truth Social can waive that six-month period anytime they want. And the board of directors is, you know, Donald Trump Jr. and various other Trump loyalists. So if Donald Trump ever felt like he really needed to sell a bunch of stock urgently, he probably could find a way of doing that.
I see. I was thinking that the timing might have been purposeful to release it around April 1st so that around October 1st, 6 months later, he could take a lot of money out to use in the end game of the campaign. But you're saying it's even more flexible than that. By the way, didn't Truth Social shares crash, if crash isn't too strong a word, like 20% on Monday?
Yes, the company came out with an earnings report, and apparently the earnings do matter a little bit because they caused the stock to go down from, you know, $60 a share or so to $50 a share or so. So that is a large decline, and that, you know, there were lots of headlines saying like Trump has just lost $1 billion, which is true. But this is a very volatile stock. Meme stocks by their nature are very volatile. If they can go up a lot, they can go down a lot. And so seeing the stock go up or down by 20% or even more in a day is kind of to be expected.
We just have like 20 seconds left, but does Truth Social make money in some of the same ways as you were describing Reddit making money earlier? Is Donald Trump's social media company selling our data, if we're on Truth Social, to AI firms and things like that?
I don't think they're nearly sophisticated enough to have worked that one out. Right now, they're barely making any money at all. They have almost no revenues. They had like $50 million of losses on like $4 million of revenues. So, yeah, right now, they're just chugging along with a very kind of open source, bare bones website and app. And they're happy to lose money on it for the time being because they're making a lot of money in the stock market.
Felix Salmon, chief financial correspondent for Axios, host of the Slate Money podcast and author of The Phoenix Economy, Work, Life, and Money in the New, Not Normal. Thanks as always.
A great pleasure.